We are in a series called Soft Answers to Tough Questions. We give soft answers, even if the questions are rather abrupt, because we love our enemies. That's the idea. That's how we're supposed to progress. So they're asking tough questions about Christianity. And this question is, what hope does Christianity offer the world? You see, there are some who say, we're all about the environment. Lady on TV said that she's a Reformed Jew. She's a Democrat, very dedicated to progressive ideals. And the thing about that is that this is not, a Reformed Jew does not follow the things of the Word of God. In fact, their religion is their liberalism. They define themselves as superior by condemning those who are against them, against their principles. And so these people are saying, we're saving the world. We are changing it from slavery and all these other things that that you people are content with. And they are looking at Christianity then as something that does not offer hope. So what we want to ask in return, kindly, is what hope does the world have without Christ? If you pay attention, and this doesn't affect everybody. There are people that are just skipping along in life, that parents are giving them enough to live on. What do they care about meaning of life? You know, the meaning of life is talking to friends and spending money and having the newest this and the newest that. There are people that the government is giving them money, so they are the government's children. And they don't care about problems and depth of thinking. They have enough to live on. But thinking people say, what does it mean when the author, Russian author, he at age 50, he was very well known. He was very successful, had a great huge manor in Russia. It'll come to me in a minute. Tolstoy. And at that point he said, but everything dies. Nobody continues. What is the point? Why do all this? Why work so hard at all these things when it doesn't mean anything? It doesn't come to anything. He was a thinking person. We're living in a day in which people are pessimistic about the future. That's always been true. There have always been pessimists, but now there's a general feeling of hopelessness regarding the future. With the advent of tactical nuclear weapons, fear has engulfed our planet, and you hear it all over. What can be done? Examples of this attitude can be seen in the following statements. It is becoming more and more obvious that it is not starvation, not microbes, not cancer, but man himself who is mankind's greatest danger. Well, that's it. What hope is that? Carl Jung. The real problem is in the hearts and minds of men. It is not a problem of physics, but of ethics. It's easier to denature plutonium than to denature the evil spirit of man. Albert Einstein, pretty bright guy. That's what he saw. Today, the survival of humanity is a utopian hope. It's kind of a pie in the sky is what he's saying. Utopia, where everything is fine. And he says, it doesn't really happen. Norman Brown. And then the world has now become too dangerous for anything less than utopia. So it's either all or nothing. John Platt. The problem of lack of hope, the lack of meaning in life, is not unique to our generation. Thinking people have found it throughout To a large segment of the population, this life is all there is, and therefore there is no hope beyond the grave. A person I had never heard of, I was reading about him, Ralph Barton, 1891 to 1931, New York City, one of the top cartoonists of the nation, left this note pinned to his pillow before taking his own life. I have had few difficulties, many friends, great successes. I have gone from wife to wife and from house to house, visited great countries of the world, but I am fed up with inventing devices to fill up 24 hours of the day. To no purpose. Why would I do this? He killed himself. Go back to Shakespeare. His comment in the tragedy of Macbeth. Out, out, brief candle. Life's but a walking shadow, a poor player that struts and frets his hour upon the stage, and then is heard no more. It is a tale told by an idiot, full of sound and fury, signifying nothing. The echo of no hope. It's been expressed in ancient times, compare what some of the writers of the past have said concerning death. Aeschylus, 525, 24 to 456 BC. Once a man dies, there is no resurrection. You only get the one chance, he said. Gaius Catullus, Latin poet, when once our brief light sets like the sun, there is one perpetual night through which we must sleep. All done. Theocritus, there is hope only for those who are alive, but those who have died are without hope. More modern writers, Christopher Hitchens said, and he was often witty and combative, Hitchens was brutally bleak about the human condition. Here's what he said. How dismal is it to see present-day Americans yearning for the very orthodoxy that their country was founded to escape. In his thinking, orthodoxy is the right way of thinking that led them astray before. This wasn't his darkest line, but it reflects his broader view that life offers no transcendent meaning, no meaning beyond this life. Only the cold comfort of facing reality without illusion. Henry Van Dyke, writing from a secular cultural perspective, describes modern life as filled with dismal, profane sadness. He says, half of the secular unrest and dismal, profane sadness of modern society comes from the vain ideas that every man is bound to be a critic for life. You see what's going on, and you just say what's bad about it. He wasn't being religious here, not a religious lament. It's a diagnosis of a culture that has lost its center, drifts with dissatisfaction. We could go on, if you pay attention to modern music, writing, modern in the larger sense, that is just in the last couple decades, you will find that many of them are asking the question, why should we pay any attention to life? Why should we live? What good is this? Or they go the other way and they say the only reason we should live is to have fun while we can. Let's look at the difference then at the hope of the world with Christ. That bleak background, pessimism, Christ offers real hope. He gives mankind the opportunity to become right with God and with his fellow man. So Christianity offers a full life to those who will accept Jesus. Jesus understood this, John 10:10, the thief cometh not but for to steal, he's talking about the false teacher, and to kill and to destroy. I, the good shepherd, am come that they might have life, and they might have it more abundantly. talking to people who obviously were alive. He said, but you don't have the life that I intended you to have. This abundant life never ends. There's a hope of life everlasting based on the promises of God in Jesus Christ. John 11, 25 and 26. Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, like Lazarus was, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? Can you see the truth of God, the promise of God, beyond death? In a changing world, there exists an unchanging God whose word lasts forever. There are people that get so caught up with change that they forget that anything means anything. They say, chairs have changed so much we can't even call it a chair anymore, you know, that type of thing. They're wrong, but this is the idea that everything is impermanent, and therefore, what are we talking about? You're talking about something that was so last year, so last week, you know. Isaiah 40, verse 8. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, but the word of our God shall stand forever. We have a connection to that which is permanent. He himself never changes. You get to know him, it never changes. Hebrews 13, 8. Jesus Christ the same yesterday and today and forever. So with this kind of hope, the Apostle Paul wrote just before his impending death. Just before his death, did he say, it all wasn't worthwhile? No, here's what he said, 2 Timothy 4, 6 to 8. For I am now ready to be offered. The time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, because of that, there is laid up for me after death a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. And not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. Charles Spurgeon grasped the idea. The Christian's hope is not a guess, not a mere wish. It is a sure and steadfast confidence in Christ, who has given us life by his own death. Spurgeon consistently tied hope to the finished work of Christ, a living, unshakable certainty. Great preacher J.C. Ryle, hope is never extinguished in the heart that looks to Jesus. You don't give up hope when you look to Jesus. He who has Christ has a fountain of life that no sorrow can dry up. Ryle saw hope as the natural fruit of union with Christ, a well that never runs dry. A.W. Tozer said, because Christ lives, hope is not a distant dream, but a present power. The life he gives is as real as his resurrection. Tozer emphasized that Christian hope is not abstract, but rooted in the living Christ. This is the thing. If you think about it, if you're an unthinking hedonist, the one that just lives for the pleasure of life, then none of this matters. I'm having a good time, and who cares? But if you think about it, if you read through the book of Ecclesiastes, Solomon, great thinker, said, you come down to it and it's all vanity. It's all emptiness. It's all purposelessness. Why should we do that? Why? He says, you work really hard. You make a lot of money. You build a big empire or kingdom like he was doing. He says, and then you die and you give it to your son that never had to work. And he's a fool. What good is that? There's a saying about businesses that the guys that start it, they're thinking, enterprising people. And then the children are all about maintaining it, not taking any risks, but maintaining it, maybe trying to build it a bit. But the third generation, they don't really care about it. And if it's going to take a lot of hard work, we don't even want it. We just divide up the money and go our way. It's what you've approached life about. All about us, then, there are people who've given up. People that are saying, just take what pleasure you can find and live life like that. And they are lost. Maybe they feel okay, but it's an illusion. Tolstoy was 50 years old when he said, I thought of taking my own life because I couldn't think of a reason to live. He got converted, he got changed, not to true Christianity, but to his own form of religion. Sadly, he thought that the Russian Orthodox Church represented Christianity, and he rejected that. But you and I need to recognize that within what we believe, within the Bible, is the avenue of hope, and truly the only avenue of hope. Let's bow for prayer. Father, you give us the realization that life is worth living because life never ends. We will be someplace forever. What we learn here, what we gain here, is what we take with us. We ask that you might help us to recognize that it's character, not money, that will make us what we ought to be in the time to come. We ask also that you might help us then with sensitivity to look around us and to see someone with the bleak eyes that says, I don't know why I'm here. I don't know what to do. I don't know why I should continue to live. So I'm going to take drugs. I'm going to commit mental suicide so I don't have to think about these things anymore. I pray, Father, you might give us then that pity that comes when they've missed the whole point of what Christmas is about. That you, loving mankind enough, said, I will give my son that they might have life and that more abundantly. With heads bowed, eyes closed, maybe you're saying, I haven't really given thought to people without hope. I haven't really looked around for them. I haven't been sensitized to them. But God helping me, I want to look about and see. I want to be the one that says there is real meaning because there is real purpose in creation. If that's your concept, your prayer, I wonder if you'd slip your hand up, say, pray for me. This is what I need to be doing in my life. Pray for me. Father, we turn our hearts to thee then and ask that you might help us to be a guide, a light to those that are finding life meaningless. And we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.